Coming up on Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College, the Texans returned home looking to extend their five-game winning streak, but the Packers had some things to say about it.
Schaub under center, takes the snap. Matt fakes the give, plants, and now he scrambles forward. He's going to be sacked.
Despite the lopsided loss, there were some bright spots.
As time steps up, now pocket collapses. He's going to go down. Brought down by J.J. Watt. And there it is for Andre Johnson, but he has over 10,000 receiving yards now in his NFL career.
We'll look ahead to the upcoming game against the Ravens, and we'll literally take you onto the field for our newest feature.
Don't run here no more.
Coming up right now on Texans Huddle.
This is Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. HCC is the official education partner of the Houston Texans. Now, here's your host, Patty Smith.
Hi, everyone, and welcome inside Reliance Stadium for this week's edition of Texans Huddle. And boy, do we have an action-packed 30 minutes in store for you. As always, we'll sit down with the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. We'll also chat with Texans wide receiver Kevin Walter, and we'll introduce you to a brand new feature we call Tex Effects. But first up, let's wrap up the game against the Packers in this week's Texans Rewind.
With the entire stadium draped in pink for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, the Texans took the field to an electric atmosphere. But once the game started, it was the Packers who played like a team desperate for a win.
Takes the snap. Matt fakes the give. Plants, and now he scrambles forward. He's going to be sacked.
It's very disappointing to go out in front of our home crowd, you know, on Sunday night and have it turn out the way it did. You know, we didn't play up to our standard, up to our level of expectations that we have around here across the board, and that's everybody. And you know, we're going to take a hard look at it and you know, put it behind us. The good thing is it only counts as one. So we're going to have to refocus, you know, tomorrow, watch the film, be hard on ourselves, and go out and correct the mistakes that we made to get ready for Baltimore.
The offense sputtered, but managed to stay in the game early in the second quarter when Arian Foster scored from a yard out.
Second and goal at the one. Here's the give. Foster dancing to his right. Darts into the end zone. Touchdown, Houston.
We just got to continue to strain, man. You know, just stick on blocks and keep moving, guys. You know, that's, you know, we got on the right guys sometimes, but just couldn't really get the push we wanted. I have to look at film more to see exactly what happened, but that's my first impression.
With the offense struggling, it was up to the defense to try to contain the potent passing attack of the Packers.
Crabtree in the backfield along with Green. Rodgers to pass. He's sacked by Watt. Watt's second of the game at the 15-yard line.
But it was Aaron Rodgers and his receiving corps that took center stage on Sunday night. Rodgers set a career mark with 6 touchdowns on 338 yards.
To me, he's doing what he's been doing his whole career. I mean, this guy can throw it around, light it up. Made some tremendous throws. They made some great plays for him. He did a hell of a job.
The Texans' Andre Johnson had a good night, leading the team with 8 receptions while becoming the 6th fastest player in NFL history to surpass a 10,000 receiving yard mark. But for Andre and the Texans, a win, or at least a more competitive outcome, would have been preferred.
This is a big accomplishment. It was just unfortunate we couldn't get the win. Just the way things played out. I mean, it just doesn't feel good.
Well, as much as that one stung, it is only one loss, and the Texans looking to right the ship this weekend against Baltimore. But we've got to take a timeout here on Texans Huddle. Don't go away. When we come back, we'll sit down with Kevin Walter and introduce you to Tex Effects.
Go right here no more.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network.
And welcome back to Texans Huddle, presented by Houston Community College. The entire Texan rookie class joined forces with the United Way of Greater Houston for the annual NFL United Way Hometown Huddle this week. The event was held at Discovery Green and is part of the NFL Play 60 campaign that encourages kids to dedicate an hour a day to physical activity. The Texans rookies teamed up with the YMCA and the Boys and Girls Club of Houston to compete in a field day featuring various Play 60 events. And joining me now, the voice of the Houston Texans, Mark Vandermeer. And Mark, I'm going to change things up a little bit this week.
Audible?
Right, well, I'm calling an audible.
Okay, do
We've
it.
We've got a lot to get to in a short amount of time, so I'm thinking less of me, more of you is good. So
That is not true, by the way, but go on.
Spout out about five or six, I think, key components, key guys in this game, and you just go and what you tell us what to expect from them, what we need to see. The running game, Arian Foster.
You got to run the football to keep that Ravens offense off the field. I mean, it's that simple. They couldn't do it against Green Bay, couldn't sustain drives, couldn't stay on the field, and you saw what happened to the defense. In this game, Arian's got to run it, and that means everybody gets involved, blocking. And I also think Ben Tate and Justin Forsett, whoever the number two back is, really has to show up as well. You need a consistent ground attack to ground the Ravens.
Staying on the ground and the Ravens, Ray Rice.
Well, Ray Rice is terrific, not only as a running back, but as a receiver out of the backfield. And I think that's where he's very dangerous, where a lot of people don't talk about him. You look at Joe Flacco's numbers over the years, a lot of the receptions go to Ray Rice. So he can hurt you in so many different ways. He's probably their most important offensive weapon other than Flacco himself. So he's a dangerous guy.
Flacco?
Joe Flacco, much better this year than years past, I think. And I think that, you know, when you talk about who's an elite quarterback or whatever, it doesn't matter. He's a very good quarterback. And he has the kind of arm that can make some laser throws similar, not exactly the same as what Aaron Rodgers did last week, but it could be causing similar damage to your Houston Texans defense. Somehow they have to find a way to get the pressure on him like they did in the playoff game when they sacked him five times.
The loss of Ray Lewis versus the loss of Brian Cushing.
Ray Lewis is a bigger loss to the Ravens than Cushing is to the Texans. They're both huge, but Ray Lewis, I mean, he's Ray Lewis. He's an icon, inspirational guy. You see the speeches before the games. And let me ask you this. If you're the same team as Ray Lewis, you don't want to upset Ray Lewis. Would you want Ray Lewis mad at you? I'm playing hard every single down. It's a huge loss for them.
I wouldn't want Brian Cushing mad at me either.
No, I know. Neither guy. But, you know, it's Ray Lewis, okay?
All right. Special teams for the Houston Texans.
This has been a real bugaboo, hasn't it? I mean, mistake after mistake. And they've been able to overcome it for the most part for the first five games. And then you see what happens when they're not on their best. And it can result in a loss. You know, luckily they haven't had the huge disaster. But when you allow kickoff returns, punt returns like they have so far, they're going to have to get something, not only avoid mistakes, but do something really positive in this game. It would be nice. I'm not saying they have to do that to win, but it would be good to have it.
Real quick, Battle Red versus that purple, finally.
You know, I love Battle Red. I really do. It's one of my favorite days of the year, Patty. And, you know, I know that it hasn't always worked in the past, but they do have a winning record in Battle Red, and I'll take it. Thank you.
All right. Great stuff. Thank you, Mark. And still to come on Texans Huddle, presented by HCC, we'll sit down with wide receiver Kevin Walter.
Texans Huddle is brought to you in part by Verizon, America's fastest 4G network. By the Memorial Hermann Ironman Sports Medicine Institute, bringing elite care to all athletes. And by the Texas Lottery. Play the Houston Texans scratch-off from the Texas Lottery today. Maybe it's your lucky day.
And welcome back to Texans Huddle. Well, as is customary with Tuesday, typically a day off for the players, but you can always find a few of them out in the community giving back to the fans that support them. One such event was the Stars in the Classroom, sponsored by First Community Credit Union. This week, Texan fullback James Casey visited Morton Ranch Junior High School, where 8th grader Alexandra Tijerina submitted her nomination in honor of art teacher Terry Roberts. Students are encouraged to nominate a teacher who has made an impact on them, and the winning teacher received two tickets to a Texans home game with sideline passes, while the school district gets a $500 donation. Alexandra also received an autographed football for her nomination being selected.
Throughout, you know, elementary school, junior high, high school, I had a lot of teachers help me out. And there's no way I'd be here where I'm at right now. Graduated from Rice, playing in the NFL, if I didn't have a lot of great teachers. And, and it does inspire. You know, it makes me want to come back. And like I said to the students, I put myself in their shoes and wish I'd have had people come and talk to me and kind of give different points of view on the way people see things. And hopefully I can help out some of the kids and maybe motivate them a little bit to try a little harder in school.
To nominate your teacher, just go to HoustonTexans.com. And from the stars in the classroom to one of the stars on the field, wide receiver Kevin Walter, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
As I mentioned, star on the field. You this season got your 300th pass the other day. Some of these accolades and milestones are kind of starting to kind of rack up for you. Is that a little bit of just you're playing really well, or you've been around long enough, or a little bit of both?
I'm not sure. I think, it's my 10th season. I've been around a little bit and had some opportunities to make plays, and that's a good thing.
Talk a little bit about this season so far. You guys starting out, so well, 5-1, of course, dropping one of the Packers. But where you are right now and how good you feel about your position?
We feel great. We feel great as a team. We feel great. You know, last week wasn't our best effort, but we made our corrections on Monday and moved past that. What better way to go against Baltimore this week and get back on track?
Let's talk a little bit about Baltimore. They've got some injuries. Maybe you guys are catching them at a good time, but this is a team that's kind of been a thorn in your side for a long time.
Yeah, I believe we haven't beat those guys. I think we're 0-6 against them. But it's always a dogfight. We know it's going to be a great game. It's going to be a physical game. It doesn't matter who's hurt and who's not hurt on their team. We have a plan, and we just have to go out there and execute it.
Can you talk a little bit about this receiving core and just sort of how the dynamics, as you said, you've been in the league for 10 years, you've kind of probably seen it evolve, seen it change a little bit, but how it relates to you, to Andre. Andre seems to be getting, as he always does, a lot of attention. Benefiting you? Does it seem a little bit different this season?
Yeah, I think it benefits everybody. Andre's going to get attention no matter what. He's going to get double covered, but I think as a team, we do a great job of moving him around, and it's tough to really key on him. But as far as our receiving group, this is a very talented group. A lot of young guys that are explosive, that can make plays. We have a great group, and I'm definitely glad to be a part of it.
As I mentioned, the first thing I asked you was about kind of hitting some of these milestones and playing really well. Do you or did you set any goals for yourself going into the season?
As a receiver, you always want to have 1,000 yards. It's always a goal. It's, I think, any receiver's goal. But you never know how many opportunities you're going to get during the season. That's the way I look at it. If I have an opportunity to make a play, you better make it. If it's one play a game, 10 plays a game, you better make it. And that's the way I approach everything.
All right, you ready to play a little 1st and 10 with us?
Oh, I'm ready.
All right, this one's always fun. Some questions not necessarily football related. We talked about it walking in here for this interview. It's getting close to Halloween. You tell me about your kids, what they're going to wear. But what about you? Best and or worst Halloween costume?
I say my best one growing up. These are all when I was growing up. I think I was dressed up as the Ultimate Warrior. I had the old things around my arms and I tried to look all strong and like the wrestler. I think that was my best one. My worst one, I probably had quite a few bad ones, but I think I dressed up as Jim McMahon one year because I grew up in Chicago and I was a Bears fan, the '85 Bears and all that. So I had the sunglasses on, had the rag on, headband and everything, and I think that's probably my worst one.
All right, second down, since you mentioned Chicago, you're a Chicago guy, White Sox or Cubs?
Cubs, definitely Cubs. Usually, I grew up north side of Chicago. Usually north side is Cubs and south side is Sox, so I'm a Cubs fan.
All right, third down, you're a guy that catches a lot of passes across the middle. Who's the one guy you just do not want hitting you?
There's not one particular guy, really. I've been hit quite a few times. I think who hit me the hardest? Paolo Milo got me one time. I didn't see. He knocked the wind out of me. I think Roy Williams, when he played up in Dallas, he got me once. Nothing bad. It's just knocked the wind out of me. So it's pretty uncomfortable.
All right. Fourth down. Going back to wind and going back to Chicago. What's worse, a Chicago winter or a Houston summer?
I'll tell you what. I think a Houston summer is tough. Growing up north, I'm used to that cold weather. Playing in cold weather, I can run around all day in that. The heat and humidity down here, it's tough. It's tough, just the breathing and practice out there, and you get tired pretty quick. So I'd have to say the toughest is Houston.
I'm going to have to agree to disagree with you on that one. I've actually lived in Chicago for a couple years.
Really?
I'll take this heat over that cold.
Yeah, a lot of people say that. Yeah.
All right. Well, good luck this weekend.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Texans tickets for this season are completely sold out, and the 2013 Houston Texans season ticket priority waitlist is filling up fast. Make sure you're part of the action and join the priority waitlist at HoustonTexans.com today.
Make sure to log on to HoustonTexans.com to vote for the Texans September Whataburger Player of the Month. Jesse Nading is nominated by Tim Dobbins. Earl Mitchell was placed on the ballot by Antonio Smith. And Dwayne Brown was honored by Matt Schaub. Just get online at HoustonTexans.com, make your choice. The winner and the player who nominated him will make an appearance at a Houston area Whataburger next month. Danielle Manning was selected as the September Whataburger Player of the Month by the fans, so he and Antonio Smith were at the Houston area Whataburger. Both players received donations to their respective charities and spent the rainy evening signing autographs for the fans. All right, Texans fans, time now for the debut of the new segment we've been talking about all show, and that is Tex Effects. Exactly what is it? Well, it's your chance to get up close and personal with your Houston Texans. And this week we put a wireless microphone on safety Danielle Manning during the Packer game. Check it out.
Let's go. One, two, three.
Win.
Woo!
Come in the mouth.
Yay! Yay!
Hit my 911. Lamborghini Mercy. Hey. Through the night that our flag was still.
Let's go.
Hey, we gotta start fast, man.
Don't let it happen here no more.
Keep our cleats planted in and go.
Wine and dine with Texans players at the Taste of the Texans, presented by BP on Monday, November 5th. Fans can sample food from 25 of Houston's finest restaurants, with event proceeds benefiting the Houston Food Bank and the Methodist Hospital. Secure your tickets today at HoustonTexans.com. And welcome back to Texans Huddle. Well, joining me now, president of the Houston Texans, Jamie Roots, to talk about a big announcement made on Tuesday regarding Super Bowl 51.
How about that? Exciting. Houston will have an opportunity to participate in the bidding process. We'll go up against either San Francisco or South Florida. The presentations and the decision will be made next May, and hopefully we'll be successful.
Now, you mentioned in the press conference that this is a little bit different of a process than maybe we saw the first time around. Can you kind of tell us and take us through those steps and those timelines?
Yeah, last time it was a little more open, so you didn't know whether they had their eye on you or not. And now the Super Bowl Advisory Committee over the last several years, actually based on feedback that we gave them, they collect all the cities that are interested, and then they narrow that down to just a couple, two per year. And then they give those cities that they think have the best chance. that can do the best job, the opportunity to participate. So that's already, we're past one gate. And so we're going to work hard towards May and put together the best bid possible, and hopefully we can be successful for Houston.
Now, you said Super Bowls 50 and 51, which was 2016 and 2017, kind of lumped together in a little bit of a sense. San Francisco and Miami kind of going head-to-head for the first one. Whoever doesn't get that goes against Houston for the second one. What does getting a Super Bowl, since, you know, we've had it here before, we know what it means, but what does it mean to the Houston Texans and the city of Houston?
Well, gosh, for the city, it's a tremendous boon from an economic impact perspective. The most recent Super Bowl that we had, I think it was $300 million, and it's gone up a good bit since then, and you have to carry that out into the future. So economics are significant, but just the ability to market our community on a national and international stage. For years, people will be talking about Houston in connection with the Super Bowl, one of the great brands on the planet, the National Football League Shield. So that that makes a big difference. And then for our community, the quality of life impacts. I mean, you feel good about your city. You're a big deal. The Super Bowl is coming to my town, and I might have a chance to participate. I can be a volunteer. Might get lucky enough to get tickets. I'm going to read about it all the time. When all these tabloids are talking about being in Houston, you know, that's my city. So I just think for a lot of reasons, it's a big deal for our community.
If you can't tell, Jamie's a little bit excited about this, but I'd love to keep talking about it, but that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you want to watch this show again or just hear more from Jamie Roots, log on to HoustonTexans.com. And be sure to come on out here on Sunday as the Houston Texans take on the Baltimore Ravens. It is Battle Red Day. Wear your red. And again, be sure to tune in on Monday at 10:30 for Texans Wrap, where we wrap it all up. Have a great weekend, everyone.